Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Al Pitampale is founder of the Modern Meeting Company, a group that helps organizations transform meetings, make decisions, and coordinate complex teams. As an IT advisor at Ernst & Young LLP, Al witnessed the meeting problem firsthand at Fortune 500 companies all across the country. Now, Al is part of a new generation that brings fresh eyes to stuck business systems. Al is a speaker and blogger on making revolutionary change happen and is a graduate of the NYU Stern School of Business. He's author of the new book, Read This Before Our Next Meeting, published as part of the Domino Project at Amazon.com. Al, welcome to Edgewise.
I'm glad to be here, Dave.
Okay, let's get started with something very fundamental. Why are we addicted to bad meetings?
Meetings have become the default stalling tactic for important decisions. So it looks like we have a meeting problem, but I think if you look one level below, we actually have a decision problem. Because when an important decision comes up inside of an organization, we call a meeting instead because we don't like to admit it, but we all get afraid when making an important decision. So that becomes our crutch.
Now, in the book, you make a very strong argument for meetings that are built for speed. Is there a place for extended face-to-face discussion in meetings, or should all of that dialogue happen outside of the meeting room?
The meeting is an expensive tool. It's a really powerful tool, but it's an expensive one. So we got to start to think about it in terms of the cost that's associated with the meeting. Make it as short as possible. Sometimes that's not possible to make it a 30-minute meeting. Sometimes it needs to be longer. But let's approach it like a pay-per-view prize fight. If you look at HBO, when they have an amazing fight that's coming up, the first 6 hours is the lead up to the fight, all the preparation, all the hype, all the promotion, getting people informed on the story of these fighters. And then once they actually get into the ring, they duke it out for 10, 15 minutes, and then the fight is over. But whatever you can do before the meeting starts, do it. And just leave the meeting for the heart of the matter, whatever is at stake that's going to have people engaged.
So are you saying that decisions never actually happen in a meeting?
Sort of. We have a delay problem in organizations. When an important decision comes up in an organization, it gets delayed. And the vehicle that it happens through is meetings. We call many meetings after many meetings, and it's effectively a way for the decision owner to delay it. The bias in that type of system is for the decision to never get made or to get delayed endlessly. So if we can change the structure of the meeting system in a way where the bias is towards action, where it actually encourages people to make decisions quicker, well, then we have a meeting system that could actually work. The meeting, if you think about it, I call it a weapon of mass interruption.
Right.
One person with just a click of their Outlook button can interrupt 10 people's schedule for an hour. And if it's your decision, that shouldn't happen very often because that's a very expensive thing and it creates an environment of interruption. So when you have to make a decision, you may need input. You may need feedback from other people. That's part of intelligent decision making. But where did we create this idea that you have to call a meeting? Why not reach out to those people individually in one-on-one interactions to get the feedback you need and then make the decision? If you do it that way, you're not interrupting people. And it turns out conversations are much better for getting valuable feedback. And once you've made the decision, it doesn't have to be the decision, but it has to be a decision. The meeting can serve as a forum to debate that decision.
So the meeting convenes to support a decision that has already been made.
What groups are great at is disagreeing, but they're horrible at agreeing. But if a preliminary decision is already made and there's no resolution in that meeting, at least you have the preliminary decision to say, listen, I know the resolution hasn't happened, but we have to go in that direction in the expediency of time.
Now, how is a brainstorming session different from other types of meetings?
I say that a brainstorming session is not a meeting. It's the exact opposite of what a meeting should be. I define a meeting as something that exists solely to support decisions. A meeting is a place to kill off other options. So when we walk into a meeting, we're trying to decide, we're trying to narrow options. My main thesis is that we have a decision problem in organizations, and fundamentally, we're not narrowing our options the way we should. But if you think about a brainstorming session, the purpose of that, it's to widen options. It's to generate a mass number of possibilities. And if we approach it the way we approach a meeting, we're going to get the exact opposite.
Well, why is that?
When you walk into a meeting room, this can be intimidating. Your boss is probably there. Your colleagues are probably there. So it actually constricts your creativity instead of the opposite, which is let it flow. Let's do it the exact opposite. Let's walk into a meeting room. It should look completely different. People should be active. People should be moving. There should be a whiteboard or post-it notes all over the place. It should look a little bit wacky even. We should look to the companies that are best at this, a company like IDEO, which I talk about a lot in my book, and see what they're doing. And they do it very differently from the rest of our organizations.
Al, what's the most important thing a successful meeting leader needs to do?
It's knowing when to call a meeting and when not to. One of the most common structures I see is a daily or weekly status meeting. I don't quite understand why we do that, because the presumption when we have a weekly status meeting is that there's something that we need to talk about every single week. And it also sends some type of signal that either we don't trust our people as much as we want to, or we're trying to engineer some type of control system where we have to know what people are doing. But the reality is, Parkinson's law is there's a vacuum of time, and whatever we do expands to fill that vacuum. So if you have a daily status meeting, even if there's no issues to resolve, you'll talk about issues. You'll create issues. That's the nature of how meetings operate. No matter how long they are or how many meetings we have, we're going to fill that vacuum. And deciding when to have a meeting to begin with is by far the most important decision that managers have to make with regards to meetings.
Another important part of your approach is preparation, not only on the part of the meeting maker, but also very significantly on the part of the invitee. Memos, white paper, slides are assigned to invitees for review and analysis. Now, what happens to those invitees who have not completed this pre-meeting work?
We say reject the unprepared. Unapologetically reject them.
Pretty harsh there, Al. What do you mean by that?
This means different things to different people, and that's the intention. We can't necessarily fire the person that doesn't come prepared, nor is that appropriate action. But what I'm saying is, first of all, acknowledge it. So often, people that come in unprepared are treated with kid gloves, and we don't even acknowledge the fact that they're unprepared. Now, there's many ways you can reject somebody. You can reject somebody through subtle humor, through sarcasm, through giving them a stern warning outside of the meeting. But the only way this is going to change is if we acknowledge the fact that people are unprepared and then at least try to get them to prepare. If you try and it fails, you try something else. And if it fails again, you try something else. That's what management is. Trying to get through to somebody and being flexible enough with your approach that you do it in a way that motivates them in the end.
Exactly. Now, what should be the end result of a properly executed meeting?
The end result is a fully committed action plan where people know exactly what they need to do and when they need to do it by. This is very different from the way traditional meetings operate. Even though we feel like we have proper action plans and that's the point of the meeting, we don't operate that way. In fact, if it's an hour-long meeting, we spend 57 minutes doing the meeting, and then the last 3 minutes, it's almost a formality to start talking about the action item.
So what would you advise regarding this?
Before the meeting even begins, on the agenda, we need to predict in advance what the action items are going to be. We usually know what they're going to be. If we have a decision that's being debated, we know if that decision goes through and it's resolved, what needs to happen next. So why not bake that into the agenda? Presume that if this decision moves forward, we're going to need to figure out this, this, and this. Here's what we're going to need to coordinate, and spend the last third of the meeting coordinating the action that needs to happen and then documenting it. So there's this really precise plan in place when people leave so that people don't feel like the time was wasted. And that's the most important thing about the modern meeting. It's constantly, compulsively concerned with justifying its existence.
Right, right. Do you have any concluding thoughts you want to leave our audience with?
What I'm saying is the traditional meeting is so broken, every time we leave a meeting, we feel as though our time has been wasted. But in the modern meeting, we try to make sure people understand that it's come full circle. We should send them a documented action plan and also updates on when those actions are completed. So in their minds, that time was well worth it. Things actually happened.
We've been speaking to Al Pitampalli, author of the new book Via the Domino Project, entitled Read This Before Our Next Meeting. You can learn a whole lot more about Al at modernmeetingstandard.com. Al, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Have you attended an AMA webcast? These free one-hour programs deliver practical insight into the latest business issues, as well as leadership and management challenges. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. We'd love to get your feedback on today's program. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.